If you take your Bibles, you're there in Hebrews chapter 12. Would you take your Bible and turn back to Genesis chapter 27? I wasn't going to start in Genesis, but I think I'm going to this morning. I've been praying about it all week of where to start the message. Hebrews chapter 12 will be there in just a moment, but if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 27, I'm going to start there and just give you the background of the story here. Of course, the last couple of weeks we've been preaching on bitterness. And how dangerous bitterness is, and how many people deal with bitterness. The Bible shows us that bitterness, the fruit of the root of bitterness, is things like anger and wrath and evil speaking and malice and clamor. And these things that we find in the Scriptures that are the fruit of the root. It is the characteristics of bitterness. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. What are some of the things that you say, is that person bitter? Well, you'll know that person's bitter by the characteristics that the Bible say come with bitterness. Anger, wrath, evil speaking, clamor, malice, those kinds of things. The other thing we talked about last week was the cause of bitterness. The cause of bitterness. Sometimes we're tempted as God's people, if we're not careful, to say, well, that situation... case in point, Miss Katie just sang this song this morning. We would say, well, the loss of that child was the reason that they became bitter. And I'm not saying they are. I'm saying that sometimes people think that that person lost a relative. They were close to that person, or that person hurt them, or that wasn't a fair situation, and that's why they're bitter. That's not the reason people get bitter. The Bible shows us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, as we studied last week, that the cause of bitterness is the failure to appropriate the grace of God to any situation. So we're talking about the characteristics. You find somebody that lets the seeds of bitterness, the Bible says, get into their heart. And the Bible says it's like a root that troubles them. It springs up and it troubles them, and thereby many be defiled. The characteristics of troubling that troubles you is you let that bitterness grow. You let that situation fester. You let that thing go in your heart, and it digs down into your life, and it comes up out of your life with anger and bitter and evil speaking and those kinds of things. The cause of bitterness is when things happen. The Bible says, like Esau, he failed of the grace of God. He did not take the grace of God and apply it to the situation that was going on with his parents, that was going on with his brother Jacob. And so we see that he became a very bitter person. The Bible says, so bitter that he could not figure out how to proceed in life. He could not figure out how to advance in his life. His whole descendant, all of the descendants of Esau throughout the Bible, the Edomites and those kinds of people, were very angry and wrathful and clamorous and people of malice that would hurt the people of Jacob all throughout their history. And the cause of that bitterness is not the unfair things that happened to Esau. The cause of the bitterness was him not taking the grace of God and saying, God forgave me, I'm going to forgive you. Or God was good to me, even though these things happen, God is gracious to me, God is merciful to me, and I will give you and extend to you that forgiveness, I will extend to you that kindness, I will extend to you that tenderheartedness. As God forgave me, I will forgive you. And so we see that sometimes people are bitter people. But it is not because your parents were divorced. It is not you're not bitter today because your husband left you or your wife divorced you or that relationship ended unfairly or you lost that job or you had finances taken from you or you were swindled out of this or whatever the case might be. That is not the reason for the bitterness. The Bible shows us that we must carry with us the grace of God. And when seeds of bitterness are sown into our lives and unfair things happen, listen, we're not saying that those things don't happen. And we're not saying because you're God's child that those things won't happen. It absolutely will happen. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. The Bible says that it is impossible to be born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. Jesus Christ said it is impossible that if you live for me that the world won't hate you. And so we will all have unfair things happen to us. But in that unfairness and in that situation that is bitter to swallow, that we look at it and we say, I'm going to have to appropriate here the grace of God to get through this and to get over this and get around this and all of those things. And so we see those things. Today I want to talk about the consequences of bitterness. So we've talked about the characteristics. How does bitterness show itself in somebody's life? How can you detect bitterness in somebody's life? They become very angry. They become a person of wrath. They act out on their anger. They're a person that all that the speaking comes out of their mouth is very evil. It's very hurtful. It's hateful speech. Malice, it's actually the getting even. It is the combating with the other person. It is actually the revenge factor of anger. We talk about clamor. That's the heightening of arguments and loudness and obnoxiousness in your anger to be clamorous. And those are the characteristics, the cause, not appropriating the grace of God in these situations that happen in life. Today I want to talk to you about the consequences of bitterness. It is one thing to have things happen to you. It is another thing to have these things start being the characteristics that follow you. This is your testimony. But what are the... Sometimes people will say, well, the consequences, I'm just an angry person. No, that's not the consequences. That's the characteristics. There are consequences for being an angry, wrathful, evil-speaking, clamorous, malicious person. And there are consequences for not appropriating the grace of God. There's consequences for letting the root of bitterness dig deep into your life and the fruit of that root coming out. There are consequences when you hurt people. There are consequences when you say things you ought not to say. There are consequences when you think that way and stew that way and live your life in anger and wrath. And I want to show you some of those things today. Let's look at Genesis chapter 27. And verse number 30, if you would. Genesis 27 and verse number 30, it says, "And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding, watch it, bitter cry." That anger was already there, and now he's got a bitter cry. He's so mad. This isn't a regretful kind of a cry. This is he's so mad, it's bringing tears to him. I don't know if you've ever been that mad. I know I have. I know things have happened in my life, and if I'm not careful, I let those things dig in and grow and start to blossom into bad things in my life. He had a bitter cry, and he said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and had taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. That is a false accusation. He gave him his birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. But see, that's what bitterness does. Bitterness doesn't let you see clearly. Bitterness doesn't let you recall the accurate facts of a situation. And so it says that now he had taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And so Isaac is not helping Esau's bitterness here. In Genesis chapter 27, of course, we see the bitterness even further on in chapter 28 as with some of the reaction to these situations. that happened to Esau. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read a few verses here, and then I'll just make some comments this morning, and we'll be on our way. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14 this morning. It says in verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." In this passage of Scripture, we see a synopsis of Genesis chapter 27 and the life of Esau. And unfortunately, the synopsis of Esau's life is bad things happened to him, and Esau did not respond correctly. I would say that would just simply kind of sum up people who are bitter people that you come across that are angry and hateful. They don't have a nice word to say about anybody, negative all the time. They're people that are malicious. They're people that are, and you can just sense that they're hateful and sense that they want to just get even with everybody and hurt this person because of that person. And you see that in the life of Esau. This profane person. I want to give you four things today that the Bible says are consequences if you allow bitterness to grow. Actually, last night I wrote down one more, so it's five things that would happen if you do not appropriate the grace of God to the situations you have. And again, may I say, we are all going to have things happen. We're all going to have tragedy happen. We're all going to have unfairness happen. I remember being in high school. Actually, I was in college and I was coming home during the summers and I was working in a lumber yard. And I can just remember working in that lumber yard for 84 Lumber and just going through some of the situations there. And I loved that job. I was outside all day and I got to work with my hands and work with wood and load up and talk to customers. And I love people, so I just loved being a part of those things. And I didn't mind my coworkers, but there was one or two people there that just didn't like me. Right from the start, they were hateful. They spoke evil about everybody. When you were with them, they'd talk about somebody else, and you were convinced that when they were with somebody else, they were talking bad about you. And they would go to the boss about everything, and you try to be a good employee, and it just seemed like at every turn that they were just unfair. And I remember going through that situation, and I remember one day coming out, and the boss come to me and he said, "Did you do this?" And I said, "Well, yeah," I said, "it happened and I made it right. Now everything's good." And he said, "You're fired." And I said, "Well, why am I fired?" And he said, "You just made too many mistakes." And I said, "This is the first time you've ever talked to me." And he said, "Well, so-and-so has told me about all the things that you've been doing wrong." And I remember just wanting to get even at that moment. I just remember trying to defend myself and going through that thing. And that's just a small example. And it was a part-time job. And it was, I mean, I can look back on it and say, big deal. But at the time in my life, trying to get through college and make money, and I was working at a restaurant, and I was cleaning out trailers at night, and I was sleeping about 3 hours a night and trying to make ends meet to get back to college. And I just remember that situation happening. I just remember the seed of bitterness being sown in my heart that day. And how all of a sudden I had a hatred for that boss for believing that guy, and a hatred for that guy, and a hatred for my coworkers that nobody else would stand up for me. And I just began to hate everything and hate everybody. And he let me finish the day out, and he said, "I might give you another chance. We'll see." And by the end of the day, I'm muttering to myself, and I don't care what he thinks, and I might as well just burn this whole thing, you know, and burn this pile of wood up. And I just remember thinking some awful things that day. Yeah, okay. All of you saints with your halos around your necks, I wasn't going to burn the place down. It crossed my mind for a couple minutes, man. I had to settle down, mainly because I didn't have any gas with me. So that was a good thing. There's no gas around, no lighters. And I was struggling by the end of the day. And I remember going home and telling my mom, you know, my mom's pretty, she's pretty, you know, fiery. She probably would have defended me or something. And she said, well, what are you going to do? Cry about it? And I'm like, Mom, you're supposed to defend me. I'm your boy, you know. Tap me on the head. Everything's going to be all right. I'll go kill him for you. That's what you're supposed to do. And she said, she looked at me, and I'll never forget. She looked at me and said, you're going to have stuff like that happen the rest of your life. She said, you're 19 years old. That stuff's going to happen the rest of your life. You better determine now how you're going to take it. And it wasn't necessarily the best spiritual advice, but it was just a wake-up call like, hey, these things happen. And how am I going to react? And I wasn't a very spiritual 19-year-old kid, but I realized that day that I'm not going to be able to react that way the rest of my life. Or I would end up, and I'd begin to name some people in my mind that were just bitter and hateful, and they never spoke nice. And I said, I would turn into that boss. I would turn into that 40-year-old guy that's still working in the lumberyard and has been working the same job for 25 years and doing the same exact thing for 25 years and has never moved up, and he's angry and bitter and mad and nasty to everybody and negative, and I'm going to end up like him. And I said, I am not going to end up like him. And I just remember that day that was one of those things that woke me up that said, how are you going to... I didn't necessarily have the spiritual answer, but I knew I didn't want to end up like that. And I think some people, they think they can just continue to meddle with... I'm looking for a word here. Stew on things. It's not necessarily the word. Marinate... All food terms. I like it. I like it. He bring me food terms. Meditate on that. I'm looking for a stronger word. Dwell. There it is. Wow. That was like a one syllable word I couldn't come up with. Something bad happens to somebody and they think that they think they can just dwell on it and dwell on it. And it's just, you know, they're keeping it to themselves. And they're just kind of upset with so-and-so for doing that or saying that or pointing me out or calling me on the carpet or that's unfair or I lost my job because of that. Or, you know, it just, you could go on and on and just name situations. And people think that they can just kind of dwell on that. And it's not a big deal. Because it's their problem, and it happened to them, and it was unfair to them. And they can just dwell on it, and it's not a big deal. But I'm here to tell you today that you dwell on that thing long enough, and don't appropriate the grace of God not only to the situation, but to the person that did that to you. And I'm here to tell you some consequences straight from the Scripture, not from me. We can look around and say, oh yeah, the person's hateful, this person's mean, this person's negative. I just won't be that way. Well, there are consequences for letting the root of bitterness dig into your life and spring up out of your life and trouble you and thereby many be defiled. And here's how it defiles you. Number one, it ruins your pursuit of peace with people. It ruins your pursuit of peace with people. Look at verse number 14. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. One of the things that is affected by allowing bitterness to dig into your life, by taking that seed of bitterness and not digging it out by the root, by not appropriating the grace of God to that person and to that situation, it ruins your pursuit of peace with all men. Have you ever met people that are just determined to be at war with everybody? They're never happy unless there's drama. They're never happy unless something is wrong. They're one of those people that their entire life revolves around if they can make somebody else look worse than them. It is because they don't have peace with all men. The Bible says in Proverbs, with an angry man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and gain a snare unto thy own soul. What is the Bible saying there? The Bible is saying you can't be around people like that. Why? Because they're angry. They're always negative. They're always hurting. They're always going to complain. They're always going to have drama around them. They're always going to blame somebody else for the problem. They're going to find somebody to point the finger at. They're always going to be that way. The Bible says you can't be around people like that. You can't be around people, the Bible says, because what happens is you learn his ways, meaning you become angry and hateful and malicious, and calamity follows you everywhere, and negativity, and you are that person, and the Bible says you learn his ways and you gain a snare to thine own soul. You become what you hated. Esau, I hate my brother. He's conniving. The rest of Esau's life was a life of conniving, a life of deceit, a life of spreading hatred and anger. So much so that 20 years after this situation happened, Esau and Jacob met up. Jacob was coming through and Esau heard, and they sent out scouts and they said, we can meet. And the Bible says that they hugged each other's neck and were cordial to one another, and how you been and how's your family, and that's great and everything. After 20 years of not seeing, 20 years. Now think about it. Your brother, your sister, your flesh and blood, you don't see for 20 years. The happy reunion lasted exactly 24 hours, the Bible says, and the next day, they could not even spend a day with each other. That's how much bitterness and anger and hatred was in between them. What I'm saying is, there's no peace if you don't get rid of that bitterness. There will not be, your mind will not be at peace. I love the series, I draw on it many, many times and listen to it many, many times. The series that Brother Dwayne has done on quieting the noisy soul. You might have to pull that one out here soon and do it again and just have everybody in Sunday school come to that again. How many have ever heard that series of quieting? How many have never heard the series, Quieting the Noisy Soul? Oh my, it's such a great series of Sunday school messages, because you know where we lose the battle? Right here in our minds. This is where it starts. That person does that to you and you begin to dwell on it right here. And you gain a snare to your own soul because you stay close to that situation. And I would say, even with Proverbs, with an angry man, that should not go. I would say, even with yourself, you can't keep that anger in there. You can't keep that hatred in there. You can't keep that divisiveness in your heart and that trying to get even or trying to get ahead or trying to make them look bad. You can't keep that in there. You gain a snare to your own soul. The Bible says what we're supposed to be doing is following peace with all men. What we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to, blessed are the peacemakers. Not peace takers, not peace fakers, not any of all those things. The Bible says blessed are the peacemakers. You know why it calls us peacemakers? Because sometimes things just aren't peaceful. Paul came along and he said it this way. He said, if it be possible, not in your definition of possible, the Holy Spirit of God inside you, if it be possible, whatsoever lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Well, you don't understand what they did to me. That's not in that verse. Is it possible? Is it possible for you to stop spouting your two cents? Well, I just had to get it off my chest. You probably should have done that in the morning time with Jesus. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that thou may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, I'm about to tell them what I think of them, and it's not going to go well. Lord, I know what button to push on them, and I feel like reaching out and pushing it. I need your help, because the Bible says, follow peace with all men. You should strive. You should. One of the great desires of your life is you should want to be peaceful with all men. Now, I get it.
Sometimes it's not possible for peace to come to that situation. So you follow Proverbs. With an angry man, thou shalt not go. You sometimes will have to respectfully avoid that person. You might have to excuse yourself from that friendship. You might have to excuse yourself from that situation and go. It might be an ex-spouse. It might be the boss that you're currently working for. It could be a coworker. But you have got to ask the God of heaven to help you find peace in that situation. Number two, it will affect your pursuit of purity in life. It will affect your pursuit of purity in life. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. And then it says this, and holiness. God says to us, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, the holiness of God is an attribute. Some would describe it as a non-communicable attribute of God. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was with Barbara and Scott. Anthony the other day and Nell and Pete, and we were talking about non-communicable and communicable, and Scott is an EMT, and he understood the term right away. Communicable diseases or communicable sicknesses are when somebody has a cold and you can catch that cold, or if somebody has pneumonia, or bronchitis, and they're very infectious, and if you're around them or breathe that air or they cough on you or those germs, you don't wash those germs away, you can catch that. Non-communicable would be something like cancer. You can be right beside someone with cancer and never get that cancer. You understand communicable and non-communicable. There's some attributes of God where He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And you can look at the mindset that Christ had, and you can have that same mindset, the Bible says. But there are some non-communicable things about God's attributes you cannot have. And one of them is holiness. So when you say, when we say holiness, we're not talking about complete perfection. We're not talking about being completely perfect. We're talking about the part of God where you are pursuing what is right. You are pursuing doing well. You are pursuing not being sinful or falling in error. How many, just in your mind you can answer this, you've seen, maybe it's even you. I would admit to this. You've gone to the altar this time. You say, God, this is the last time I'm coming to you about this. I'm laying it down and I am never going to do this again. And 2 weeks later, you're at the altar and you say, Lord, I'm serious this time. I promise you, Lord, with all of my being, I'm not going to do this again. Do you know why you continue to struggle with that area over and over and over? Bitterness. There are things that embed themselves in our life that we will continue to struggle with unless we go back to the root of bitterness and dig it out. You say, I keep getting angry with my wife. I keep getting angry with my husband. I keep getting angry with my boss or with my employees. Or I keep getting angry with people in the church or my friend. I keep saying things I ought not to say. Well, listen, you're talking about the characteristics of bitterness. And the consequences of bitterness is you will continue to struggle with saying the wrong thing. You will continue to blow up at people. You will continue to say hateful words. You will continue to lash out and punch the wall and punch the door and slam things and break things. You will continue to struggle with that. And you can come to the altar 1,000 times. You will continue to struggle with impurity in your life because of bitterness. And so every time we come to the altar, here's what we do. What in essence we do is we come to the tree of bitterness and we say, Lord, I'm not going to be angry anymore. And we throw that fruit away. And we pick the fruit of hatred and we throw it away and say, Lord, I'm done with it. We smash it into little pieces and we are sincere. I am not talking about you coming to the altar and being profane. I'm not talking about you being a person that just is comes to the altar for show. I'm talking about you are sincere. You really do mean it with God. But the fact is you are simply plucking the fruit. And fruit will grow back. That's what trees do. You will continue to struggle with anger. You will continue to struggle with bitterness. You will continue to struggle with evil speaking. You will continue to say those things because you have not dug out the root of bitterness. And so the thing that the consequence of that is not only a life that there's no peace with you and others, and you have trouble in relationships in your life, the truth is you also have a problem with personal holiness, purity before God. You find yourself, you say, I struggle with that music. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And you go back to listening to it. I'm not going to watch those kinds of things. And you go back and watch it again. I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to smoke that. I'm not going to ingest that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to go there. And you find yourself there. And the Bible says you don't have God's help with your holiness. You don't have God's help with the purity of your own heart, because in your heart is a root of bitterness that has sprung up, and it is troubling you. And when you are troubled, we revert back to the fruit. We revert back to those hateful words. We revert back to threatening people. We revert back to our hatred. We revert back to unholiness. So my friend, today, if you are struggling with peace between you and others, don't pluck the fruit of anger. I got to work on how I talk to that person. No. You got to go back further than that. You got to go deeper than that. Don't pluck the fruit today. Dig out the tree. I'll tell you what, we've dug out some trees around this property. We've pulled some trees. We had a tree on the corner over here that's rotten halfway up, and I just could see in my mind one day that thing just falling out into the road, and it was just going to be a bad thing, so we had to pull it down. Remember that day? Oh my soul, that was so stressful. We had a work day, and we were cutting into that thing, and we were digging around that thing, and we just thought, oh my goodness, man, we've got to drop this thing the right way. We're going to pull out electric wires and all this other stuff, and somebody said they were an expert at it and they could do it. And he went out in the parking lot and he marked a spot. And he said, it's going to fall right here. And I'm like, psh, yeah, right. That was Charlie Kuhn. Charlie Kuhn did that. And Scott was there. Scott was sawing that thing. And they took that thing with chains and machines and all this thing. We were out there for like 6 hours cutting into this thing and putting chains on the right spot and ropes. And we had it tied to trucks and to a bobcat. I'm telling you, it was an absolute ordeal to bring that tree down. But you know, when we got that tree down, never once since that moment have I thought it's going to fall on the road and kill somebody driving by. It takes work to dig the tree out. It takes work to pull it down. It takes work to get in there and apologize to your wife, to go to the boss and have a meeting and get that thing right. It's not fun sitting down with the preacher and getting some things out and getting some things right. It's not easy getting some marriage counseling. It's not easy. That's not easy. That's that digging about process and that cutting down process. It's hard. But not one moment after it gets right.